Hi, this is Russ Hackman. Coming up next on the Wall Street Sweeper, market volatility is growing, as is the risk of a correction. Savings of Americans have grown $17 trillion since 2000, but the art is in protecting those gains and making your retirement income keep pace with inflation. It all starts now.
And now, the Wall Street Sweeper with Russ Hackman.
Sweeping away the clutter of Wall Street every week on this show is Russ Hackman and the team will do with you in your financial life, certainly more specifically, a good direction in your financial life. This is the Wall Street Sweeper. Russ Hackman is the president of Hackman Wealth Partners, 25 plus years in the financial arena as an advisor, and that focus on navigating retirement amid volatile markets. But also we tap into Russ's Wall Street brain because he spent his early years on Wall Street trading desks. So Russ, I know we got a great show ahead. We're going to bring in the Oracle of Omaha and some great quotes, but we always start out with that market update.
Yeah, and before we get to that, yeah, we're right now speaking specifically to our listeners in Boston and New York. And I'm a resident of both places.
Yeah.
Live in Larchmont in New York, live in near the North End in Boston. Was actually, Dave, we were talking about the Celtics victory the other day. Was recently kind of just wandering the streets of Boston during the day of the parade.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I guess you could say, well, what are you, just clueless? But I guess I just didn't know exactly the day of the parade. And let me tell you, folks were out in force, and they were celebrating, and some were celebrating extra hard even at 11 in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know,
the rules
you go
change
Boston,
in those
right?
Right.
Exactly. in any event, I'm sure the same thing would have been true if the Knicks had won.
Oh, yeah.
And it is too bad we didn't get that Boston-Knicks series. But, yeah, speaking to the markets, over the last few weeks, we've been talking about, hey, you know, a little bit a sort of nuttiness in the tech stocks in particular. NVIDIA was going totally nuts. Was, you know, the stock was from the end of 2022, you know, was, you know, had gone from $12 to a peak of about 140. Now, depending on the day you talk about this or the day that we air the show, you can, you know, it could be $20 up or down, like 20% up or down. But
yeah,
recently it kind of hit a peak and came off about 10%. Some of the other big tech names that have gotten really run up kind of did the same, and kind of wondering, are there some cracks starting to appear in the market? We had talked about it usually is not a good sign when you see like huge divergence in the different market indices, which is what we had seen. There's a couple other things. Again, we talk about these things not because we're here to sort of punt around and trade short term, but because it's interesting. It's interesting to know what affects our portfolio. It's interesting to learn about investing, both understanding what happens in the short term and long term. The other thing that's kind of going on that I'm keeping my eye on is, and you know, the financial press is keeping their eye on this too, obviously, when our Fed rates cuts coming, sort of, you know, the thinking is political pressure from the folks in DC and the folks actually in office is maybe there'll be a cut in September, especially since inflation data has been a little more tame. You know, we'll see if we get some of those surprises, but you know, one way or another in inflation, because that data has turned out to be tricky. Now, progress on inflation, if we get that, is, well, gee, inflation's at 3.25% or 3.5%. Like, that's hardly like, let's jump for joy if the Fed is saying, hey, our target is 2%.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So
right. We're not
they
there.
Got a long way to go, and we'll see about that. At the same time, there have been some negative numbers start to come out, like in retail sales. We'll talk a little later about some of the concerns of Americans, but interestingly, the economy has been strong, yet people are starting to spend less. The employment market is getting softer. And so the question is, you know, how are we balancing this inflation fight with, oh, goodness, at some point, is the economy in danger of recession? Doesn't seem like it yet, but we're keeping our eye on things. And at the same time, the stock market has been hot with the S&P rather up more than 10% this year, had sort of peaked. The S&P peaked at a little over 15% on the year, so that's quite a run. Last year was a great run with the S&P up 25%, although digging out of the 2022 hole. So, you know, as always, a lot to keep our attention, a lot to think about. You know, times like this when we've had nice gains, you know, sometimes I may be a broken record on this subject, but it's, you know, somebody important said the quote is, it's not making money that's important, it's hanging on to it.
Right.
We are going to hear more from Mr. Buffett, who probably said that too. And this is our first opportunity. Come in and see us for a second opinion. Talk to us about, how do I hang on to those gains that I got? Yet if the market continues to run, I want to continue to grow. How do I manage my taxes in retirement? All those things come in that complimentary second opinion. And this is our first chance on this show to the next five callers that have saved $500,000 or more for retirement.
617-674-2000. 617-674-2000. To the next five, no cost, no obligation. Coming up, Hackman Wealth Senior Vice President, Clear Hare. Street Sweeper, giving you and helping to give you a clear picture of your financial life wherever you are in your financial life. And certainly if you're near retirement, that's heading uncharted territory. And to make that journey a little easier, a little less scary and overwhelming feeling, Clear Hare is the Senior Vice President at Hackman Wealth Partners, always joining in the show with great case studies and once again giving us something we need to consider in our financial lives. And this is something that I know you encourage people to at least consider proactively in the area of taxes, and we're going to look at some different strategies with Roth IRAs today, Clear.
Yeah, so we've talked about Roth IRAs in the past, and I know that there's so much information out there about Roth IRAs, but people still seem to be confused about it, and it's not an easy subject to understand. But people are always coming in, clients that we have, and asking about Roth conversions and setting up Roth IRAs, especially if they haven't had one in their portfolio before. And the, you know, the key thing is that they're trying to achieve, which is the benefit of the Roth IRA, tax-free growth and also tax-free withdrawals after you contribute these after-tax dollars. So, you know, for example, we know that in 2024, the limits on putting money into a Roth IRA are $7,000 and $8,000 if you're 50 or older. Mm-hmm. But there is also an income limit. So you have to make $146,000 or less if you're a single filer and $230,000 or less for joint filers. So people say, gee, how do I get around this limit? Because, you know, I might make too much money, but I still want to get the advantages of those Roth accounts. So you often hear this term, and it's called a backdoor conversion. And it is a legal way to get around these different limits.
It sounds kind of like a speakeasy of the prohibition days, but it's not. Right?
No, it has nothing to do with going in the back door. However, it is a good analogy because you have to take, you know, different steps. And again, as I said, it is legal. The step one is, as a saver, you make a non-deductible contribution or using after-tax dollars to a traditional IRA. So basically, pre-tax dollars to a traditional IRA, you're putting money into that IRA and you're, you know, again, you're under those limits of the $7,000 or $8,000 and you have to file a form with the IRS that you're making this contribution. But then you can transfer those funds from the traditional IRA into a new existing Roth IRA. And usually it's better to wait, you know, 1 month before you do this conversion. Mm-hmm. And you literally do a transfer. Now, if the saver has funds in the IRA and you're in that IRA is holding deductible contributions, which is unusual, actually, because if you have money in an IRA, it's usually something that you can't deduct because you add it into the IRA. And then over time, it's going to be pre-tax until you do the conversion. But if you did have, for instance, any funds in there that were deductible contributions, then when you took the money out, then you have to apply this pro rata law. So that could actually generate a tax bill, which you're not expecting.
Right.
But it's usually unlikely that would happen. But the whole idea is you're getting around those income limits. So if you have the existing IRA and you have set up a Roth IRA account, you can start to transfer money out of that. So it's not like you're working and putting money into your IRA, but it's money that's already in the IRA. And
right.
that's what you're putting into the Roth IRA. So that's where the conversion takes place. And people are a little bit confused about that also, that you don't actually, when you do the conversion, get real income. It's like sort of phantom income that gets reported on your tax return. And again, we're trying to like do these conversions at a time when we think taxes might be going up. So let's pay our taxes now once I do the conversion, and then I won't have to worry about those higher taxes in the future. But there's all sorts of different considerations, like I don't want to bump myself into a higher tax bracket, mm-hmm. but I want to get this, you know, done and maybe fully converted before I die. So my heirs, when they actually inherit this Roth account, will not have to pay taxes either. So that's one of the main goals of doing this type of thing. But you can save, you know, a fair amount of money in taxes yourself until you pass away, because you have these after-tax assets that are no longer under required minimum distributions, which would be true if you had it in the IRA form.
Right. And now with Secure Act and Secure Act 2, well, Secure Act 2.0, whether it's a Roth IRA or a Roth 401k, RMDs are not applicable. They used to be on the Roth 401k for whatever reason.
Yeah. And again, if we think about this idea, like if you have these mixed accounts where you have some deductible and non-deductible contributions, if you have you might hear it, this sometimes referred to as a mega backdoor Roth 401k workplace plan, that can sort of bypass some of those problems, because the 401ks have different rules than just the Roth IRAs. So again, those 401k plans typically allow for higher contributions, and they're often, you know, a better option than, say, you know, backdoor Roth IRAs for employees who have access. But again, all these different plans are different, and we're seeing many more plans offer the option, especially to younger employees who are starting out, to put their money in the Roth 401k versus the traditional 401k. And, you know, so young people should be taking advantage of that if they can, because, again, their taxes now are probably going to be a lot less than when they retire 40
Absolutely.
Years from now,
you know.
Unless they change the whole IRS code and taxes
right.
go away. But I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I mean, you look at our debt, too, and you think, well, something's got to happen to pay all this off. And these current rates that many are enjoying sunset at the end of 2025. You know, it's understandable, too, to have confusion about Roth, too, but there's a lot to it. I mean, just the five-year rule. And I know a lot of people go, well, and they don't totally get it. But the five-year wait applies to the gains. Is that correct?
No, the five-year wait, yeah. Well, no, it basically says if you take money out before 5 years, then you won't have that tax-free feature. So in order to get tax-free withdrawals in the long term, you have to wait 5 years before you're withdrawing from that Roth to get those tax-free
Just
advantages.
Just that one wait, though, right?
Yes, yes,
okay.
yes. And so then it typically you'll enjoy those benefits. And, you know, again, we always wonder if, you know, Congress can step in and change the rules, because they do change the rules all the time.
Sure.
So you just have to be careful when you're, you know, involved with any of these Roth conversions or looking at any type of limits on these. So make sure that you're looking at the current year's limits on income and also contributions. Some people might think, oh, it's X, but they didn't realize it got changed for 2024. And it usually changes every year for tax purposes.
Yeah, I mean, you and Russ and Jack, the whole team, you have to keep up with these changes out of Washington.
Yes, yes. We're very good at keeping track of all the different things that need to be considered when people are involved in doing a Roth conversion or any other type of, you know, asset transaction.
So conversion, contribution, different things, and then there are legal ways around based on income stipulations with the backdoor Roth. I mean, they'll talk to you about all of this and plus much more in the consult. That's what makes the review comprehensive. So a comprehensive review available now, no cost, no obligation.
So anyone that has saved $500,000 or more, we encourage you to contact us, and we'd be happy to set up a meeting and have you come in and discuss your financial portfolio.
Yeah, and here is how you make that happen. 617-674-2000. 617-674-2000. Again, 617-674-2000. And to the next five at no cost, no obligation. It's the Wall Street Sweeper and more to come. Russ Hackman's back in the studio after a quick break. back into the Wall Street Sweeper. Every week, Russ Hackman and the team helping us all get a clear picture of our financial lives and sometimes utilizing the help of, well, recently Russ did a segment devoted to mimicking the habits of millionaires. We're going to turn to a billionaire now, and that would be the Oracle of Omaha, the one and only Warren Buffett. You know, I was curious. I did a check on how many billionaires there are in the U.S.
Yeah.
756 out of a nation of 333 million. So that's quite the accomplishment still to reach that.
Absolutely. Now the question is, like, yeah, those people who get to those billions, I mean, Warren Buffett seems to be the exception. Some of them, it seems like, you know, you got to have the heart of darkness to become a billionaire. But, you know, I'm not, you know, and I'm no anti-capitalist, like, obviously.
Right.
But yeah, there's, you know, some of these guys seem pretty brutal who get to those spots.
You're right. And he seems to be so modest in his lifestyle and everything. But, you know, he's got great quotes. And I was in an art museum recently, and I think good quotes are like good art. You interpret it your own way. So we'll find out how you interpret these quotes. And I love this first one you have. Warren Buffett quote, calling someone who trades actively in the market an investor is like calling someone who repeatedly engages in one night stands a romantic.
It's a good one. Really good. Well, look, like, you know, there are people who professionally trade, and presumably there's some people that are actually good at it because they get paid to do so. But, you know, I did spend time on these Wall Street trading desks, and I can say the number of people that can make money sort of picking stocks and trading in and out of things is very, very few. And one of the reasons, obviously, is it's very, very competitive, right? And and there's many, many, many people trying to make short-term profits. And, you know, I think what Buffett's pointing to is, yeah, be long term, because if you are long term, you know, time is on your side. You just look at history. Markets go up over time. Yes, they have these Category 5 storms that interrupt them, which is why we talk about how do you hang on to your gains, particularly as you get older. Yeah, he's got some good nuggets. What do we got next?
All right, next is you only have to do a very few things right in your life so long as you don't do too many things wrong.
Well, that's right. I mean, particularly as it pertains to, you know, a financial plan, you know, it can sound complicated and sometimes we get into the weeds. But, you know, as we talk about financial plans, you know, there's a couple things that matter most. Number one is knowing the answer to this question. If I'm 95 and I'm still here, where's my money coming from? And having a plan for that. And it can't be like, oh, market's down, I'm 95 and I don't have money, right? That can't be the situation, particularly since price levels may double or triple by the time we get to age 95, right? Second of all, things that are important is just asset allocation. Like, am I allocated correctly, the right amount of stocks? Again, the world according to Russ, no bonds, principal protected growth, and just nice boring things like CDs and T-bills we like a lot better. So asset allocation, and lastly, most important things is not paying excess fees. This happens so often, and that's why I say if you're with a big box firm, you're with an 800 number company, very easily you can have excess fees and underperformance and not know it, especially when the markets are drifting up. And it's like, hey, I'm making money, but what you don't know is the money that's not in your account that you should have made, right? Because you're underperforming. Got time for one last quick quote.
Someone's sitting in the shade today because someone planted a tree a long time ago.
Well, that's the same thing, right? So the right time to get a second opinion, to get your plan right. Again, those three areas. Be sure that you know where your money's coming from when you're 95. Be sure that your asset allocation is appropriate and it's modernized for the world that we're living in today. And then lastly, be super sure you're not overpaying or underperforming. And that really takes a second opinion and portfolio x-ray, which we give to folks who come in for a complimentary second opinion and consultation. And so we're going to offer that now to the next five callers that have saved $500,000 or more for retirement.
617-674-2000, 617-674-2000, 617-674-2000. Comprehensive review next five, no cost, no obligation. Coming up, more from Warren Buffett. Russ Hackman is president of Hackman Wealth Partners, and the goal of Russ Clear Here, Jack Young, it's to give you a clear picture of your financial life, and especially when you meet with them at the location convenient to you. We're going to get back into the Wall Street Sweeper with Russ. And Russ, last year, there was a poll from Gallup revealing that non-retired Americans' expectations for a comfortable retirement were at their lowest since 2012. I don't know the significance of 2012, but I do know one ever-present fear, and that's the fear of running out of money, because you're going to look at some things that we need to address to build confidence.
Well, that's right, and I think it's interesting that expectations are so low when, you know, I was discussing sort of towards the intro that there's a stat that for those that are 55 and up, the value of basically retirement assets is up almost $17 trillion since Q1 of 2020. Now, it might be that those 756 billionaires that you mentioned, Dave, got the lion's share, and that probably
quite
is
possibly,
true.
Yes.
They probably got a good chunk of it. Yeah, I think, look, interesting when you think about all the anxiety out there, and we as financial advisors and we as educators on the radio, the one thing I try to do is, you know, if part of my job, or maybe a big part of my job, can be anxiety reliever, you know, that gives me satisfaction, right?
Exactly.
You know, that's for sure. You know, I think when people are concerned about running out of money, obviously, you know, we have a couple categories of clients who are close to or in retirement. Some really don't have much risk of running out of money, but they have other concerns, you know, in the realm of more money, more problems, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for those folks who but look, even if you have $2-3 million, it's not a foregone conclusion if you have a 30 to 40 year retirement, if you're 60 or 65, that your money's going to last forever if you make some of those mistakes. Right? We were talking about that Buffett quote earlier, like, you know, so you can get only a few things right as long as you don't get things really wrong. Right.
Right.
So, you know, people are concerned about, I think inflation has brought out concerns, right? I mean, you really have inflation rearing its ugly head for the first time since, you know, the early 80s. People are worried about Social Security, which I don't think you need to be as worried about, you know, the bankruptcy of the Social Security system. I think they're going to keep that alive one way or another. But,
sure,
you know, one way they may keep it alive is by triggering more inflation. So, you know, that's sort of a circular problem. But, yeah, and I think it you know, one reason that people are so anxious is as time goes by, fewer and fewer people have good pensions, right?
Right.
And, you know, one of the things we talk about is, how do you create your own pension? How do you create your own income streams to supplement Social Security? Because, you know, if you're living in the Northeast or the East Coast, you know, you're not, obviously, you know, Social Security ain't going to cut it when it comes to, you know, sustaining your standard of living. So,
not nearly.
You know, people worried about running out of money, that this poll was indicating. People very concerned about market fluctuations. Now, everybody now remembers 2008, you know, the COVID up and down, 2022 when the S&P dropped 30% and the S&P dropped 20% and the NASDAQ dropped over 30%. You know, we've kind of reversed that, but, you know, that's going to happen again at some point here in the next several years. People very concerned about long-term care expenses. That's why we address that as one of the big six retirement risks. But, boy, I tell you, like, I feel like everybody knows somebody who's had to get a lot of medical care, and really, you know, it could come at or rehab or nursing home, or has had a parent that needed care, and that can really just come at like catastrophic costs. So, you know, really keeping that money safe, getting it to grow so that we can afford all the things that we need in this expensive world, You know, that's really the name of the game. And then keeping as much of it out of the hands of Uncle Sam, that's it too. And those are critical elements we address in financial plans. We offer those complimentary periodically along, and that's you know, obviously a second opinion as well. And we offer that periodically to folks on this show, and we are doing so now to the next five callers that have saved $500,000 or more for retirement.
617-674-2000, 617-674-2000. Great thing, it's a comprehensive review for the next five, and it's at no cost, no obligation. Coming up, more from the Oracle of Omaha, great quotes. Sweeping away the clutter of Wall Street every week, Russ Hackman is the president of Hackman Wealth Partners. This is the Wall Street Sweeper. Russ, we get great quotes from you every week. And you've actually on the show outside of this dedicated segment quoted the Oracle of Omaha, the CEO of Berkshire Hathaway, Warren Buffett. But we've really dug into some good ones. I love that you've actually said this one before, I believe.
Yeah, this is a good one. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're going to break it down for us. After all, you only find out who is swimming naked when the tide goes out. What's our lesson and takeaway here?
That's good. Well, I mean, I guess it's related to the adage. Who knows where this one come from? But the rising tide lifts all boats, right?
Yeah, I've heard that attributed to Kennedy and others.
Yeah, so that, you know, that's definitely true. And it is kind of true now, right? So now, you know, in the last, you know, this year, last year, is a lot better than it was in 2022. All of our boats are being lifted. You know, if we have retirement savings, we have some in the markets, our boats are being lifted. And a lot of it is happening in the technology sector. Again, that kind of just explosive growth in technology. Make no mistake, there is life-changing things happening in the world of technology, AI, and et cetera, that, you know, should be making a significant difference in our lives. But it usually takes a long, long time for these things to play out, right? So if you take a look back to the year 2000 when the internet was taking off, right? You know, there was the sock puppet that was on the Super Bowl. There was all that. It was like pets.com. They're long gone, right? So, you know, who's going to be here to last is, you know, the question. And it's not really a question for us all to answer as long-term, you know, retirement savings, living off of our retirement savings. It's about not getting caught up in ideas that sound nifty. That often is the sort of the Wall Street, you know, product du jour, right? And so that can mean investing in individual stocks, which is real hard to do over the long term, right? It can be investing in other things that Wall Street serves up, like alternative investments. Now, the billionaires may get great, quote-unquote, alternative investments, but trust me, you're not getting them, right?
Right.
So, right? The best stuff goes to people with the most money. The best stuff does not go to people that are what I call the mass affluent, which is generally our listener base and our client base.
Lifts those boats real high.
Folks with somewhere between, you know, and we know people, work with people somewhere between $500,000 and $20 million and everything in between.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously, and most people are, you know, have less than $10 million. Most people have less than $5 million, right? And but let's not be getting swept up into these sort of fee-generating products du jour. So, and let's not get swept up in the you know, FOMO of crypto or AI or any of that, right? Because we're here to think long term, and we're not here to, you know, pick the next scientific winner or whatever.
And in the Netherlands, it was tulip mania that only lasted 3 years in 1634.
It was even back tulip then. Bulbs, right? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's always something, you know, and it is true that human beings swing between fear and greed, right?
Yes.
So, right.
Yeah. another Buffett. Ready for another one?
Right now it's AI and NVIDIA chips. Those are the tulip bulbs of the day.
Exactly. The tulip and, bulbs of 2024. However, and tulips lasted too, and AI will also. Just we don't know what it's going to look like.
Yeah, we don't know how it's really going to make money for people, and we also hope that it doesn't kill us like, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Exactly.
That's another thing. So what other good quotes on that note? What other good quotes have we got here, Dave?
I'm interested to get your take on this one from Warren Buffett. No matter how great the talent or effort, some things just take time. You can't produce a baby in 1 month by getting 9 women pregnant.
I mean, only Warren Buffett could say these things, right?
Where? Let's see. He's going with dollar cost averaging, maybe. Where's he going with that?
You know, some things just take time. You know, and I am struck by, you know, people just get swayed too much by the short term and just don't think enough about the long term. And if you look at any of the visionaries out there, they all say that, right? Like, we worry too much about the day-to-day, and we don't think enough about the long-term, and we don't do a good enough job of ignoring the day-to-day, right? So, you know, a lot of what we were doing in 2022 is, you know, hey, if you set up your financial plans right, you've got a certain amount of stock market risk, you really should not be adjusting that risk as the markets swing around. That's my opinion, right? So you're not allowed to basically freak out when the markets go down because you know that's going to happen, right? And it's all about long-term planning, expecting that the wind is going to blow some days and not others. And that's how you remain calm over time. One of the chapters in our book that we keep talking about, the upcoming book, Wall Street is Not Your Friend, is called the Turn Off the TV Plan, which is let's have a plan that looks long term and really disregards what happens in the short term. As long as we got the money coming in every year to meet our retirement budget, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you got next, Dave, on the quotables?
These are really good. I like this one. Opportunities come infrequently. When it rains gold, put out the bucket, not the thimble.
Yeah, well,
so
it's
is that
true.
Like that 10-year bull run we had? We should have had the bucket out?
Well, look, I think it's, you know, I think to some extent, it would go back to my asset allocation philosophy. You know, if it may not be gold, but if banks are paying 5%, take it. Like, let's remember that, you know, 3-4 years ago, if somebody told you get a CD for 5%, you know, you would have driven to the next state to get that CD, right?
Absolutely.
And, you know, let's appreciate what we got. Let's not chase, you know, something that's supposedly a lot better, right? We got one last quote. I'll just hit it. Risk comes from not knowing what you're doing. Isn't that right? So having the right plan, knowing what you're doing is what we're all about. When you listen to this show or if you come in and see us, we're going to offer another chance for folks to come in and see us to the next 5 callers that have saved $500,000 or more for retirement.
617-674-2000, 617-674-2000, 617-674-2000. Great number to call to get that comprehensive review about you at no cost, no obligation to the next 5. Coming up, questions from listeners. How do you get a question to Russ Hackman for this show and hear your question answered on the show? HackmanWealth.com. Click the radio tab. We're back into the Wall Street Sweeper, and that's exactly what Russ Hackman, the president of Hackman Wealth Partners, is doing in this segment, addressing the concerns sent to us from listeners like Marie. I understand the limitations of seeking financial advice from friends and family. I also, though, have had negative experience with financial advisors I've worked with in the past.
Well, yeah. And, well, I guess the implied question is, you know, what right, should I more, do?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a little bit like I've got this sort of adage that I lay out from time to time, which is, you know, by the time you're 85, you need three good people you can trust, or a handful, right? One is a good mechanic, another mm-hmm. is a good doctor, and the third is a good financial advisor. Now, maybe good doctors are easier to find, or at least they don't seem to have as many overt conflicts of interest as some financial advisors or some mechanics, right? Now, I don't know if you know this, but I now have, like, in the neighborhood, one of the places I live outside of New York, and also live in Boston and spend a lot of time in D.C., but outside of New York, I have, like, the ultimate garage, right? Like, the guys
that
are
you can
from,
trust.
The right. guys are from, like, Serbia. They are totally trustworthy. Every time they do something, they charge less than I think that they're going to
yes.
charge.
I've got
right?
the same place. I love it.
But definitely, I've had other times in my life, particularly when I was younger, where I got, you need this, you need that. Like, did I really need it? I don't know. Right. So
I get second opinions with car things too, because many try to upsell you.
So, yeah. So, you know, sometimes finding a good financial advisor is just as hard as finding a good mechanic. Because, like, what do I know if it's, you know.
Once you find it, though, you hold on to it for dear life.
Yeah, exactly. But look, there are some ways. And so for us, almost all of our clients come from other firms. It doesn't mean those other firms were bad, but, you know, generally speaking, it means that they may have had some shortcomings that people are trying to address by moving to us, like maybe some conflicts of interest in the mutual funds they're recommending, maybe some, maybe just, I mean, the biggest thing that the reason that people come to see us is people have a portfolio, not a plan. Right?
Yeah.
Like having a portfolio right. ain't having a plan. What's a plan? Well, it's something that addresses the big six retirement risks, right? And, you know, I repeat those periodically, but the biggest risks are, you know, market downside, income for life, taxes, inflation, fees and underperformance. Those are some of the biggest retirement risks. And if you have a plan, you know those things are addressed. And if you don't have a plan, you just have a portfolio, right? So, you can, if you're thinking about how do I find the right financial advisor, if someone's just doing a portfolio and then giving you this hit enter thing that shows you're probably not going to go broke, that's not what you want. You do, generally speaking, you know, want to avoid the big box firms where, you know, you almost feel like you can pay, you're paying for somebody's, you know, loafer budget, right? Or, you know, fancy shoe budget.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the second tier big box firms, again, I don't want to sound like a snob, but the you know, the big box firms, but they're not the biggest brand names. Some of those really have tons of conflicts of interest or tons of hidden fees. So, you know, again, if you feel like you're paying for somebody's shoes, you probably are, right?
I don't want to buy somebody's shoes.
Yeah, that's a good adage. You know, you can ask financial advisors questions that are prospective, like, hey, do you put clients in actively managed mutual funds? Just that one question. If the answer is yes, but here's the reasons why, I go the other way. You know, you can ask people, are you licensed in both securities and insurance and annuity products? Like, are you agnostic as to what's out there? And that's a good way of knowing. I think people should be licensed in everything. You know, can you help me reduce my taxes? Some people, you know, advisors will usually say yes, but then it's like, well, how?
And how is
these
the
are questions that, yeah. that can help you sort of parse through who's for real or who's not. And also, like, if you get a sense from sitting across from somebody that they're really desperate for your business because they're trying to make their mortgage payment, then, you know, that's not a good sign.
No, it's not. Right? Not at all.
So there's some tips at least. What's our next question, Dave?
It's from Jonathan. I own some mutual funds in a taxable account. And last year, not only were the funds down, but they distributed capital gains and increased my tax bill. So I'm paying taxes to lost money. Isn't there a better way?
Well, yeah. I think we were talking about a case study on a recent show where we had a client who was, particularly in 2022, a lot of people, and raise your hand if this happened, if you've had situations where your funds were down, but your taxes were up. Now, that is super irritating. Yes. That means your advisor doesn't have you in the right kind of funds, because the right kind of funds are called exchange-traded funds, and if they are in after-tax accounts, taxable accounts, they don't distribute capital gains, right? So you only pay capital gains if you actually sell them. So, another sign that you don't have the right advisor is, like, tax surprises, right? Or the advisor who just sells everything, wants to sell everything you have, regardless of what the tax outcome is, and welcome you as a client. That's not a great, if someone's talking to me and saying, hey, I've got this stock I paid $10,000 for and it's worth $100,000. Like, well, I have some clients who are lucky enough to buy NVIDIA before they met me. Well, good for you, right?
Right.
Don't sell that, right? In any event, got this question here about Roth conversions. Give me that one there, Dave.
Here it is. It's Rhonda. I'm 70 and retired. I asked my accountant about Roth conversions. He says they're not for anyone over 60. Is that right?
That is not right. So it almost always... This is a good question. Like, who's supposed to give me advice on how to keep my taxes lower in retirement, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, who knows the answer to that question, right? Well, I'll tell you, it's not your accountant who is too big. Almost no accountants are good at the question, and will tell you this. They're not great at the question of how do I keep my taxes lower over the next 10 to 20 years on the money coming out of my IRAs, right? The only people I know who do that is independent financial advisors like us, and we're not the only ones, but now we're not tax accountants, but, you know, understanding how to do Roth conversions, they can be done even by people in their 70s. You can be adding money to Roths. I call Roths the holy grail of accounts. I think I'm going to have a title of a chapter called that in the upcoming book, Dave.
That's good.
And that question is key. A key part of coming into CS is a tax liability estimate and a tax management plan. We talk about that when folks come in to see us for a complimentary second opinion. And here's that additional chance to do that. Next five callers that have saved $500,000 or more for retirement.
617-674-2000. 617-674-2000. Next five, complimentary comprehensive review with Russ and the team. On the way, do we need to be taking action? Is risk on the rise? Sweeping away the clutter of Wall Street, getting together on this show every week, Russ Hackman and the team, to help us get a clear picture in our financial lives. And certainly they do when they meet with you, and actually better in the sense that they can offer suggestions and strategies more specific with you one-on-one. But we're going to talk about risk here. Two things for you, Russ. Is risk on the rise? Do we need to be taking action?
Yeah, I mean, look, we were talking earlier in the show. We've talked in the last few weeks about how there seemed to be A, some cracks forming in the market rally, and B, in part related to that, kind of some hot air kind of blowing up the market rally. You know, when you see, when you saw stocks like, you know, Apple and Nvidia, you know, these huge components of the S&P 500, you know, moving by 10% in a day. That is a sign of nuttiness. That's a term of art, Dave.
Well, you had the quote on nuttiness last week.
Yeah, nuttiness.
Can make you nutty.
Right, exactly. So there's a little bit of nuttiness out there on sort of what's going on in the markets. At the same time, we are at these different inflection points, right? Like, is inflation coming down? Is the Fed going to cut rates? What's going to happen with inflation? What's going to happen? There are some pretty clear signs out there that the market is starting to weaken, the economy is starting to weaken. So that, for example, retail sales down, consumer sentiment is down, And people are getting a little more worried, while at the same time, the market is up around, you know, depending on the day of the week, 12 to 15% on the year for the S&P 500. And you know that old game, which is like, what in this picture doesn't belong, right? It's getting a little concerning that, you know, and at the same time, we got, not to sort of make it sound like the sky is falling, but, you know, $2 trillion, I was reading again, $2 trillion deficits, another update on what the deficit is annually, $2 trillion that came out the other day.
Just the deficit.
It's just craziness, right?
Wow.
So with everything out there and with the markets at highs, you know, the question you posed, Dave, is now the time to take action? Like, well, no, we're not here to, you know, make short-term trading decisions. But, you know, if you're, I mean, I don't care how much money you have. If you're within 5 years of retirement or you're in retirement and you got 70 plus percent of your money in the stock market, I think that that's too much, right? And that if you're lucky enough to have ridden it up to this point, you know, take some chips off the table. Put some money in things that put a floor under where you are, but give you, you know, if the market grows more, great, right? Like, what's wrong with making 7-8% when the market goes up as opposed to 10% or, you know, nothing, right?
Exactly.
So, you know, it's a little bit back to the Buffett adage, which is, you know, was talking about capturing
with
gold
the-
when it's fallen from the sky, right? And part of it is like, once you capture it, don't tip your bucket over, right?
So yeah, and use a bucket, not a thimble.
Thanks for everyone. Thanks to everyone for listening again this week. And, you know, hang on to your money, right? And let's not let it go away when the market drops. We're going to offer one last opportunity to the next five callers that have saved $500,000 or more to come, a chance to come in and see us.
617-674-2000, 617-674-2000, 617-674-2000. And how, what are good strategies to help us hang on to the money and more? That's what you can find out in this comprehensive review, Next Five, no cost, no obligation. And we'll see you next week with Russ Hackman and the Wall Street Sweeper.
Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Wealth Advisors, LLC, BWA, a registered investment advisor and an affiliate of Brookstone Capital Management, LLC. BWA and Hackman Wealth are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BWA, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. The opinions expressed by Russell Hackman, Claire Hare, Jack Young, and their guests on the radio show are their own and do not reflect the opinions of this radio station. Before acting on any information mentioned, please consult with a qualified tax or investment advisor to determine if it is suitable for your specific situation. Any comments regarding safe and secure products and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to securities or investment advisory products. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims paying ability of the issuing company and are not offered by BWA. Registered investment advisors and investment advisor representatives act as fiduciaries for all of our investment management clients. We have an obligation to act in the best interest of our clients and to make full disclosure of any conflicts of interest, if any exist. Please refer to our firm brochure, the ADV 2A, item 4, for additional information.